This morning's scripture is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
This is the second installment of our sermon series on thorny theological themes, and yet I don't know if grace is so much thorny as it is simply ignored. We sort of gloss over it when we sing God of grace and God of glory, and maybe even when we sing Amazing Grace. And yet it's a foundational idea for Christians, and perhaps especially for Protestants, whose revolution was based in large part on the idea that we are grounded in God's grace, and our response to it is what brings us to wholeness. I remember when I was a little kid going over to a friend's house for dinner, and before the meal began, his dad said, "Let's say grace." And I was brought up short for a minute, and I wasn't sure, were we supposed to just say the word grace? And things became a little bit clearer when he began to offer a prayer before the meal, what in my family we always called the blessing. So the briefest of blessings I offer at the dinner table in our family, and I'm the only one in our house who does this, and I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The brief blessing that I offer is, God, bless our food, our family, and our crazy-ass congregation. Amen. See, I told you I shouldn't have told you. But back to the family of my childhood friend. What his dad was offering is, in fact, a blessing. So where does the title grace come from for that prayer? Well, it's Latin, of course. What else would it be, right? Gratia is the Latin noun for thanks. And it spills over into Romance languages with gracias and grazie. So they were offering a prayer of thanks, which is great. But thanks is not exactly what the theological concept of grace is all about. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Going back to the Greek of the New Testament, the word we translate as grace is charis, which means a present or a gift. You know, it's something that you didn't necessarily ask for or earn. It's just given to you. And even in English, when we say that somebody has the gift of being attractive and engaging, we say that they have charisma. It's Greek word, George. It's Greek word, yes. that they have that gift of being able to draw people in the way JFK had the ability to draw people in. So if we start to think of grace as a presence and God's grace as a gift, well, what's that all about? Well, think about it. What has God given you? Look around. It's all grace. You're able to inhale and exhale. Some of you are able to sing. You can perceive beauty and terror in nature. You have senses, and you're able to perceive complex ideas. You're sitting in a progressive congregation trying to deepen your spiritual life. You understand what love feels like, both in its presence and also in its absence. It's all grace. It's all gift. And you didn't do anything to earn those gifts. Your life itself is an unearned gift from God, given to you unconditionally. You know, I have trouble describing the enormity of this gift of existence. But I like the way Frederick Buechner describes it. Grace is something you can never get, but only be given. There's no way to earn it or deserve it or bring it about any more than you can deserve the taste of raspberries and cream, or earn good looks, or bring about your own birth. The grace of God means something like, here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's for you I created the universe. I love you. God also creates us for relationship. Relationship with one another, and also relationship with God. And that trusting relationship, that longing for, and that embrace of the divine, that's what we call faith. And the writer of the Ephesians says it's a relationship that we can't earn, because it's an unconditional gift from God. Our faith is a gift. It's a grace from our Creator. One of the thorny bits of Western Christianity before the Reformation was the idea that we could build up merit with God, who was seen as something of a divine accountant, keeping track of all the good works that we do, putting them in the credit column, trying to outweigh the sin that was mounting in the debit column. And this became a big deal in Europe in the 16th century with selling indulgences through which the church told people that you can add to your credit column in the ledger that God is keeping on you by doing good works or by buying an indulgence. But Martin Luther famously objected and wrote, "A Christian has no need of the work or the law in order to be saved. Since through faith, that is through relationship, the Christian is free from every law and does everything out of pure liberty and does it freely. The Christian seeks neither benefit nor salvation, since he or she already abounds in all things and is saved through the grace of God. Because in his or her faith, she or he now seeks only to please God." That is an enormous idea with great implications for how we live out our lives, how we express our faith, how we develop our relationship with God. Think about it like a relationship between a parent and a child. Just as we have no need to earn our way into a relationship with our parents, we have no need to earn our way into relationship with God. And just as we foster human relationships with love and communication and attention, we nurture our faith, our relationship with God, through love and communication and attention. And yes, relationships do get skewed and broken. And with God, there is always a tender parent looking for reconciliation with a child who has wandered like the prodigal son. You know that particular parable. In fact, there's more grace shown to us when we return to the embrace of God after straying apart than there is to begin with. You know, I don't know if any of you are fixated on the image of God as the divine accountant, keeping track, and then trying Your job is to try to tilt the ledger in your favor, but if so, knock it off. Just cut it out. There is nothing wrong with doing good works. But if you're going on mission trips or being a trustee or organizing a yard sale or sponsoring coffee hour just to earn God's favor, you're barking up the wrong tree, folks. Instead, try focusing on the grace of God that has been shown to you. None of us did anything to earn the gift of this life. None of us did anything to be born into an affluent society. None of us did anything to deserve the exquisite beauty of Colorado. And if you focus on the grace of God, chances are really good that you are going to want to respond somehow. And that's where the Latin word gratia comes in. We respond to God's unearned gifts through gratitude, which has that gratia root, gratitude. We do good works not as a way to curry divine favor. There's no tit for tat with God. No, we do them because it's an external response to an internal feeling. We're showing gratitude to God. So I'd like to give you all permission to let go of pious language and doing good to look good, either to God or to other people. Just get real. Take a moment each day and let God's gifts to you soak in. Enjoy them and respond, giving thanks to God for the outrageous gift of your life and for everything that surrounds you. Amen.